Hello and welcome to the program UFO Warning. In this episode, we're talking about the latest UFO whistleblower. That's correct, the latest UFO whistleblower. This has made some pretty big news. It's been all over network television. Of course, it's just completely consumed the internet. It involves a fellow coming forward saying that the United States government does have UFO craft and possibly occupants to boot. The story was broke by Leslie Keene and Ralph Blumenthal, and the first article they came out with appeared June 5th, 2023, yesterday on thedebrief.org. That's thedebrief.org. Of course, I'll be leaving links here at the Buy Me a Coffee website. As always, thanks to all the wonderful folks that support the program over there. It's probably the best way to do it. Also, you can support monthly on Spotify. Also, equally best way to do it. Anyway, there are some questions about the person that brought this stuff forward, and the claims are fantastic. First, we'll look at the claims, and then we'll just take a couple minutes to look at some brief comments about the whistleblower himself. You got to admit, the guy had a lot of courage to come forward, and he puts his name and face out there with the story, so I'll give him credit for that regardless of how this thing proves out. Now, the article begins, it says, a former intelligence official turned whistleblower has given Congress and the intelligence community inspector general extensive classified information about deeply covert programs that he says possess retrieved, intact, and partially intact craft of non-human origin. I'll say right up front, in my opinion, that's the way to do this, is to work within the system if you're a employee of one of these agencies, rather than risk going to prison for passing classified information to a celebrity journalist. One of the comments yesterday, I think, misunderstood what I was saying. I wasn't saying that we should bow down and worship the government. I'm just saying we should work in a way that we don't risk going to prison for the rest of our lives, like Julian Assange or, you know, Edward Snowden. We don't need to do that. And what this guy has shown here is, yes, he's coming out with this whistleblowing revelations, but he's revealing the information to the people that he's told to do it to, and that's going to save him, I think. It says the information, he says, has been illegally withheld from Congress, and he filed a complaint alleging that he suffered illegal retaliation for his confidential disclosures reported here for the first time. That's important. He's accusing these guys of breaking the law. Other intelligence officials, both active and retired, with knowledge of these programs through their work in various agencies, have been independently provided similar corroborating information, both on and off the record. Here's the good part. The whistleblower, David Charles Grush, I believe that's how it's pronounced, it's spelled G-R-U-S-C-H, 36, a decorated former combat officer in Afghanistan, is a veteran of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, NGA, and the National Reconnaissance Office, NRO. He served as a reconnaissance office representative to the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force from 2019 to 2021. From late 2021 to 22 July, he was the NGA's co-lead for UAP analysis and its representative to the task force. So it sounds like he was pretty high up there within the system. He's got a picture of the fellow here with all of his different patches and stuff, and looks like he's got a ton of medals. The task force was established to investigate what were once called unidentified flying objects, or UFOs, and are now officially called unidentified anomalous phenomena, or UAP. The task force was led by the Department of the Navy under the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence and Security. It has since been reorganized and expanded into all-domain anomaly resolution office to include investigations of objects operating underwater. You know, it's, to me, it just seems like more shell games, but, you know, whatever. Grush said the recoveries of partial fragments through and up to intact vehicles have been made for decades through the present day by the government, its allies, and defense contractors. Analysis has determined that the objects retrieved are of exotic origin, quote, parentheses rather, non-human intelligence, whether extraterrestrial or unknown origin. That's very important, unknown origin. I've been saying for years this stuff is interdimensional. Based on the vehicle morphologies and material science testing and the possession of unique atomic arrangements and radiological signatures, he said. We've talked about this on the podcast many times about the atomic arrangements of these things are like nothing that we see here on Earth. Radiological signatures from other distant galaxies. We've reported this when we talk about the implants. He says, in filing his complaint, Gresh is represented by a lawyer who served as the original Intelligence Community Inspector General, ICIG. Quote, we are not talking about prosaic origins or identities, Gresh said, referencing information he provided Congress and the current ICIG. The material includes intact and partially intact vehicles. In other words, we've got the receipts. In accordance with protocols, Gresh provided the Defense Office a pre-publication and security review at the Department of Defense with the information he intended to disclose to us. His on-the-record statements were all cleared for open publication on April 4th and 6th, 2023, and documents provided to us. It says Gresh's disclosures and those of non-public witnesses under new protective provisions of the latest defense appropriations bill signal a growing determination by some in the governor and the government to unravel a colossal enigma with national security implications that has bedeviled the military and tantalized the public going back to World War II and beyond. And then it goes here, it says, Carl E. Nell, a recent retired Army colonel and current aerospace executive, who was the Army's liaison for the UAP task force from 2021 to 2022 and worked with Gresh there, characterizes Gresh as beyond reproach. Well, that's his character witness. Christopher Mellon, and we've talked about this guy before, but it says here, who spent nearly 20 years in the U.S. intelligence community and served as the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence, has worked with Congress for years on unidentified aerial phenomena. Quote, a number of well-placed current and former officials have shared detailed information with me regarding this alleged program, including insights into the abandoned and recovered, Mellon said. However, it is a delicate matter getting this potentially explosive information into the right hands for validation. This is made harder by the fact that, rightly or wrongly, a number of potential sources do not trust the leadership of the Aero Office established by Congress. Well, how could you blame him? But some insiders are now willing to take the risk of coming forward for the first time with knowledge of these recovery programs. Then it says Jonathan Gray is a generational officer of the United States intelligence community. They're just coming out and telling you, generational. That's part of the problem with this whole deep state apparatus, is it's become a generational thing, sort of an all-in-the-family kind of operation. Anyway, it says, this guy has top-secret clearance. He's worked for NASIC, it's NAIC, National Air and Space Intelligence Center. Quote, the non-human intelligence phenomena is real. We are not alone, Gray said. Retrievals of this kind are not limited to the United States. This is a global phenomenon, yet a global solution continues to elude us. Look, there's not going to be a global solution. Nations are far too competitive to ever get together and work on this thing cooperatively. It's going to give somebody like communist China or, you know, the Russian oligarchy, Putin, and even our country, such a tremendous advantage. Why would you ever work with a group of people that are diametrically opposed to what you believe in, say? According to a 2021 NRO performance report, Gresh was an intelligence strategist with multiple responsibilities who analyzed unidentified aerial phenomena reports and boosted congressional leadership intel gaps and understanding. He was assessed by the Reconnaissance Office Operations Center Deputy Director as an adept staff officer and strategist, and total force integrated with innovative solutions and actionable results. So they're saying, you know, basically the guy is a stand-up guy. Gresh prepared many briefs on unidentified aerial phenomena for Congress while in government and helped draft the language on the UAP for the fiscal year 2023 National Defense Authorization Act. Goes on, it kind of just lists his bona fides here a little bit. Basically, they're telling you it's not like a Bob Lazar case where we can't tell where the guy came from. We have to kind of take him for his word. Yeah, he's got some stuff he can show to prove he was here or there at a certain time, but there's all these questions that remain. This guy was an insider. He's got a long history of working for the government. He specifically was assigned to work with the UFO threat. And now he's coming out and he's telling you, hey, listen, the government has this program. It's been going on for years. I've been trying to blow the whistle on it for a long time. They won't listen to me, and they are illegally withholding the information from Congress. Now, that part I can believe because, look, and we've been talking about this for a long time, how the deep state is just cutting Congress out of the loop. And it's almost like we have a fourth branch of government, really. It says, according to the unclassified complaint in July 2021, Grush had confidently provided classified information to the Department of Defense Inspector General concerning the withholding of UAP-related information from Congress. He believed that his identity and the fact that he had provided testimony were disclosed to individuals or entities within the Department of Defense and the intelligence community outside the IG's office. He did not allege that this information was improperly disclosed by any member of that office. It sounds like he's getting a little bit worried. As a result, Grush suffered months of retaliation and reprisals related to these disclosures beginning in 2021. He asked that details of these reprisals be withheld to protect the integrity of the ongoing investigation. Wow. You know, that's kind of the thing. First rule about Fight Club, don't talk about Fight Club. The intelligence community inspector general found his complaint credible and urgent. I mean, how bad has it got to be before the insiders are saying that this guy has actually been retaliated against? I'm assuming there's some really bad stuff that's happened. According to Grush, the summary was immediately submitted to the Director of National Intelligence, Avril Haines. Heard that name before, the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence and the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. The complaint was drafted and signed by McCullough and his managing partner. It ended with Grush's signature attached to his statement that I do solemnly affirm under the penalties of perjury that the contents of the foregoing paper are true and correct to the best of my knowledge. So this guy, he's bringing the receipts, man. He's saying, listen, if I'm lying, you know, I'm going to risk going to prison. I tell you, you got to put a lot of credibility to someone that says that. He's coming out here, he's not a Bob Lazar. He's not coming out and saying this happened and that happened and this is my story and maybe I can pass a polygraph test and maybe we can talk about this or that. This guy is bringing the receipts. He worked within the system. He's telling you that he tried to get this information released to Congress, that they retaliated against him, that he filed a complaint over that retaliation. It was found, it looks like it's grounded. It's still working its way through the system. And he's out here in public. I think maybe he's releasing this information because he's afraid that if he doesn't, something even worse could happen. It looks like the people who brought this forward have been very careful not to release anything that's classified. They're protecting themselves. Now, if that's kowtowing to the government, so be it. But they've been smart enough not to just release something where you can't prove the chain of custody and put themselves in legal jeopardy. They've done this the right way, as far as I can see. Now, could this whole thing be a limited hangout? Could this whole thing be a head fake? I suppose. But right now, it's looking like a pretty serious case of whistleblowing. It goes on, it says, a vast array of our most sophisticated sensors, including space-based platforms, have been utilized by different agencies, typical and triplicate, to observe the accurate identity, the out-of-this-world nature, performance, and design of anomalous machines, which are then determined not to be of earthly origin, Gray said. There's another deep state expert telling you, look, we've got these things from multiple camera angles. We talked about this on the sighting off the coast of San Diego there back, what, in 2004, 2009, whatever it was. They had pictures from the boat, pictures from the satellite, and pictures from the fighter jets. Pictures that we weren't allowed to see. Remember they talked about the men in black showed up on the flight deck and took all this stuff back with them. I suppose that's been going on for a long time. I mean, it's no surprise that every time NASA has a UFO show up at the space station, we conveniently have a cut in the feed. It goes on, it quotes Mellon. It says, that's Christopher Mellon, of course, says that once the members of Congress gain greater awareness of the information provided to their staff and the inspector general, they will be in a position to quickly determine the truth if they have the will to do so. Well, I don't have a lot of faith in that. It goes on to quotes Nolan here, all the usual suspects. These guys, I guess, are on the short list of people that the journalists call when they need some fill into the article. But like I said, the fact that this guy signed a paper saying he would swear to this under penalty of perjury, and the fact that we've got his bona fides that we see where he worked at, wow, pretty amazing to me. Now, I will take a couple looks at things people have said about the guy, just to throw that you'd say maybe they're throwing shade on, but we need to know about all of this stuff. Now, there have been a couple people question how the material was released, and even talking a little bit about the whistleblower, who he's associated with, kind of maybe throwing shade on the guy a little bit. Right now, I have to say that I'm definitely in the camp of wanting to believe this guy just because he's been as transparent as he can be. We can see the chain of custody, that the information that he has is taking. It hasn't been clandestinely passed off to somebody in a parking lot. You know, he did partner up with a couple celebrity journalists, but it's a big story. I mean, are you gonna talk to some small fry like me to break a story like this? No, of course not. You're gonna get the big names out there, if nothing else, just to protect yourself. You want this story to be out there where everybody can see it. You know, he's already said that he's been retaliated against, and that retaliation claim was substantiated and by the whistleblower, organization that checks this stuff. So the guy's credible to me. Way credible. The personal references, yeah, okay, whatever. But just the fact that he can show where he's been working at, he can show what jobs he had, and the fact that he tried to share this information with Congress first, it's a big deal to me. Now, if he wants to go out later and make the UFO rounds and do speaking engagements and get paid for it, that's up to him. That's the entertainment part of this, where people enjoy hearing about this stuff. That's his decision. But as far as him trying to release this information, and as far as his credibility, I have to lean toward favoring him right now. Although not everybody is doing that. Now, John Greenwald, he made a comment here on his Twitter. He says Leslie Kahn posted a Facebook that her and Ralph Blue passed on Washington Post publishing their piece about non-human origin craft because WaPo was taking too much time. So they went to the debrief because they were under growing pressure. Pressure by whom, he asked. That's a legitimate question. Was there pressure because this guy felt like the deep state was coming after him, or was it a pressure to get this stuff into the news cycle? Even if it was just to get it into the news cycle, I can understand that because, you know, you want the story to reach maximum potential. And if they felt like something could come up that would just overshadow this or whatever, I mean, they're professional journalists. They know when they need to release this stuff. So I don't blame them there. Leslie Kern had Keen, rather, had published the tweet that said, "To be clear, the Washington Post did not pass on our story. Ralph and I took it to the debrief because we were under growing pressure to publish it very quickly. The Post needed more time, and we couldn't wait." Well, you know, that's on them. They went ahead and published it, and they said that they have done the back check on it and verified everything. If they didn't, it'll come out and it'll be a big mess. But right now, it looks like they have their ducks in a row. Now, somebody else who raised some complaints about this was Stephen Greenstreet. Now, I like a lot of his work, but he seems like he's gotten more and more vicious towards some of the UFO stuff. I didn't realize that Stephen Greenstreet was actually had top secret clearance. There's a podcast he was on, and I retweeted it, where he talks about working for an agency where they were producing propaganda, basically directed toward Muslim youth to encourage them to be less hostile to the U.S. And he revealed that he had a top secret clearance. That's something I think people should reveal before they get on board this public discussion, because if he has a top secret clearance, then obviously there's things that he can't tell us about. And that could shade what he knows and what he doesn't know and what he's wanting to reveal. It could very much affect the motives he has, you know, toward saying certain things. So I just think we should know that. Now, Greenstreet has come out and said his tweet was UFO whistleblower David Grush groomed by deceitful UFO activists. Now, you can kind of see there, he has had a real axe to grind with Louis Elizondo and the whole Skinwalker crew. I don't know exactly what happened there. If Stephen Greenstreet feels like he has been deceived as a journalist, he's really angry about any kind of damage that could have been done to his reputation. But man, he's been on a rant. He says David Grush claims the U.S. government is in possession of crashed alien spacecraft and alien bodies. This story is going viral right now. Brian Bender, former defense writer for Politico, who covered UFOs for years, tweeted his opinion that Grush was groomed by dubious UFO activist Louis Elizondo for several years. Louis is getting beat up. In 2017, Elizondo briefly reached C-list celebrity status after claiming he was once the director of a Pentagon UFO program. He claimed otherworldly UFOs were real and that we may not be alone. This kicked off a 5+ years of UFO mania. Now, look, I've been pretty critical of Louis myself. In fact, I posted that little meme on my Twitter site, at warning sub UFO, and you know, with Louis's picture saying "Never trust an old man with new ink." I did that because Louis has come out and said, "Hey, you know, there could be these revelations where basically your religion doesn't mean anything. Everything that you thought you knew was wrong. And I just think that that's not a cool thing to do. It could almost instill mass panic. No matter what happens, that doesn't mean people have to change their entire belief system. It just means, hey, we found out something new. We don't need to infer that everything we believed in has been erased. Therefore, we have to look to some new UFO celebrity or some new deep state actor to tell us what to do. That didn't work out the last time so well. If you remember a particular virus that went around a couple years ago, locking everybody down and making people do things they didn't want to do. It's really not the American way. And as far as this UFO thing goes, to just tell people that their whole belief system is crap and that, you know, we're going to give you this new information and this new knowledge, it's also not the way to do things. Anyway, that's my soapbox. In 2017, Elizondo briefly reached celebrity status after C-list celebrity status after claiming he was once the director of a Pentagon UFO program. It says, but that was all wrong. My exclusive reporting, this is Green Street, of course, talking, for New York Post exposes Elizondo as untruthful with his UFO claims. There is no evidence at all to support his stories, and available evidence actually contradicts his entire narrative. So you can see Green Street is on Louis like a hog on rye. Well, at Politico, Brian Bender was one of the first to credulously report Elizondo's story in 2017, but later admitted he was purposely misled, and his new story was written by the same UFO activists, and this new story was written by the same UFO activists, Leslie Keene and Ralph Blumenthal, who wrote the original false and deceptive 2017 Elizondo story in the New York Times. Now, I did think that was a little sketchy, how that video ended up being passed from the Pentagon to Mellon, reportedly by Louis, and then it ends up at the New York Times, and then the next thing we know, it's all over Tom DeLonge's website with his To the Academy of Stars watermark on it. That whole thing I thought was not cool. Anyway, it goes on, it says, now that Elizondo's claims have been proven false, he has mostly disappeared from the public eye. I don't know if his claims have been proven false. You know, he said a lot of stuff. A lot of it seemed pretty accurate to me. The thing about Louis is it's almost like he was blowing up his resume a little bit, maybe. I don't know. But I think people forget how lazy the average federal employee is and probably the average state employee. I mean, I personally think that if you apply the 80-20 rule, you would find out that 20% of these federal and probably even state employees are doing 80% of the work. And I can tell you from what I've seen personally, a lot of these guys, they mostly just go in, sit behind a desk all day, drink coffee, hang out at the water cooler, and then go on trips for so-called meetings. I mean, meeting. I mean, it's just one meeting after another about nothing. And what they actually get done at the end of the day is usually zero, okay? Meanwhile, probably 20% of the people are making the gears turn. And I kind of, it almost seems to me like maybe Louis was in that 80% where you just go to work, you have an office, you chill, nobody really knows what you do. It's almost like a Costanza situation. You know, you're shuffling papers back and forth. I can see Louis Elizondo being George Costanza. You know, hey, I passed those videos off to Christopher Mellon in the Pentagon parking lot. Is there anything wrong with that? You know, that kind of attitude where these guys just go in, they kind of exploit their position, but that doesn't mean that the pictures aren't real. That doesn't mean that pilots haven't seen these things. I mean, it's only normal that if you get a guy who has a personality where he's a little bit on the side of things where, you know, he's going to exploit a situation where maybe he's not really cut out for, you know, supervising a shovel all day. He sees this opportunity working in the bowels of the Pentagon, and maybe it wasn't that big of a deal. It was just some position created by Harry Reid, and Louis fell into it. That doesn't mean the stuff doesn't exist. That just means that Louis made the most of what he knew about the situation. Okay, I do believe there's some truth to what he said, probably a lot of truth. But I also think that he probably made himself seem like a bigger deal than what he actually is. That doesn't mean that this latest fellow that came along is being untruthful or didn't see things he claimed to see. Time will tell. But, you know, the story is so big. that it's only natural that this latest whistleblower is going to get caught up with these UFO celebrities, with these UFO celebrity journalists, because those are the people at the top of the food chain. This, you know, we live in a time of social networks, and the way you get these stories out is through a social network. And so I can't be too hard on this guy because he's involved with Louis Elizondo. I don't know. At the very least, we can say is that he did go through legal channels to try to release it. He didn't pass the stuff off in a parking lot somewhere. If he's conflicted in some way, it'll come out. But he also signed a piece of paper swearing his allegations, his assertions rather, under penalty of perjury. That's kind of a big deal to me. So I feel like the guy is putting his own liberty on the line. He deserves to be heard. The story deserves some time to play out. And if it turns out that it's not true, then we'll talk about it. If it turns out that it is true, and this is just one more case of the deep state hiding the evidence, well, then I guess I can say once again, I was right. But until next time, this is UFO Warning, over and out.